Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the first match of the Euro 2024 tournament is happening later today. Scotland will take on the host country and three-time winner Germany. The warm-up games are wrapped up. The fans have descended on the German capital. 51 games to come and a really busy few weeks ahead. So on the line to tell us more, all the way from Berlin, is Guillaume Balaguet, broadcaster and soccer journalist. Guillaume, hello.
Hello, Claire. Where are all those fans that you're talking about?
I don't know. Are they not where you are?
Definitely not.
Why not? You arrived there last night. I thought you'd be full of the joys of how exciting an evening you had in Berlin.
No, I'll tell you what's happening is that they make a new welcoming when they realise that you're not local. I was just walking around after doing BBC 5 Live and it was like, oh, come and have a beer. So I did get that. There's a lot of familiar faces, journalists and so on. I don't see many fans, obviously the Scottish ones are in Munich, but there's a completely different sense to this tournament compared to 2006.
Why?
And I know many people are talking about it. Well, 2006 was full of German flags, people wanting to be proud of the nation, a nation that was working, the trains were arriving on time, the organization was absolutely brilliant, they were very welcoming, there was all of that. And all of a sudden, because of the success also of the national side, Germany fell a nation that everybody was proud of and united. And football made them happy. There was all that. Now, and this is not just Germany, it's Europe, it's a broken nation, we know that. A nation that, according to a poll, would like 20% of the nation would like more white players in the national team. And the captain is of Turkish descent, where the trains are not going on time anymore, where there's a sense of decadence around it. This is from people that live here. And football hasn't taken over as the solution to all ills. So as I said, there's no many decorations, there's no many fans at the moment.
That's really interesting that you say that, because there had been quite a bit of optimism around this German team. You're saying that you're not seeing that expressed there from the showing of the fans, but also in your football world, in the people that you speak to, the optimism isn't there either. Is that what you're seeing?
The national team has brought a little bit of optimism in Germany from the moment that Toni Kroos, the Real Madrid player, decided to join them. Conversation started in November with Julian Nagelsmann, the manager, and eventually he said, yeah, I'm joining in to end my career. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Toni Kroos and Gundogan, the Barcelona player, and Fritz, who will be a Ballon d'Or winner eventually, and Musiala. All those guys have got a lot of talent. And yes, all of a sudden, it's, you know what? We've got a chance. But it's all like, how can I put it? It's all like quite cold analysis of the situation. There's not a desperation for the team to win. Let's see if football does that magic thing of united a nation all of a sudden. But right now, as we know, politically, socially, it's a divided nation. And yeah, football hasn't taken over yet.
And the Scots, I know, are really hopeful. I mean, Spain couldn't beat them, we saw. And there are tens of thousands of fans travelling over there in the hope that they'll be able to take on Germany and win.
I've seen a figure of 200,000. Could that be possible?
Scotland is empty.
Wow, is that what it is? Well, then it all explains that. Obviously, they won't all have tickets, quite obviously, but does it matter? It doesn't really matter. I saw them on the train that was taking me from Stansted to Berlin. That must have run out of, you know, direct flights to Munich, and they were the loudest, but in a kind of, you know what they're like, in a kind of fun way. And even though, you know, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, it shouldn't be that loud at that time. But yeah, they love in their time here, and they feel that they have a chance exactly for what you say. They beat Spain, they've got in McGinn, in Robertson, in McTominay. People of quality that have actually fought at the highest level. So it's not a given that Germany will win. And I've got the impression, if you want a theory of what's going to happen, and then you can check it at the end of the tournament, that we're about to see potentially the best tournament ever.
Why?
Or at least Yeah, I just think that he'll have the biggest amount of quality. Look at the coaches. Spalletti in Italy, the best coach around, Nagelsmann, Roberto Martinez, Southgate, Deschamps, Montella. The players right now, not only physically are strong, they've got more versatility than ever. They can play different systems, so they can adapt quickly. They don't have a lot of time, managers, to in national side, but they can adapt quickly. The 10 out of the 16 winners of the European Championships have been won by Italy, Spain, Germany and France, and the four of them are here. Then the middle class of European football, the Belgians, the Portugals, Croatia, Netherlands, they're very strong. And we've seen the peak of that style of football that is so spectacular, the pressure high, the quality in possession, plenty of ball players. So I feel that teams will surprise others, will take points of others. And what we could see is not just a lot of quality, but a lot of surprises. So I think it could be even a final without France and without England, which they're all, actually, it may happen. It may happen. Teams are very strong at the moment.
Yeah, because everything I read this morning was pointing towards France as the ultimate winner. So that's why I'm taken aback by you saying that, you know, they might not make it to the final.
But, you know, Claire, I will always go against the tide. So,
fairness, you do.
Yeah. I needed that strong argument, which I think I put across. But yeah, they've got everything, don't they? They've got the manager who won't make them exciting, but will make them effective. They've got players, Mbappé, etc. Yeah, they're clearly the favourites.
Now, can we talk a little bit about England? I think they're the bookies' favourite to win. I'm not sure if that's changed this morning, but Gareth Southgate did make those big changes to the squad, and people seem unsure of what to expect now.
Well, I think they are sure of what to expect. They have to win. And that is a surprising take from everyone. They don't have the divine right to win. They have other teams, like, for instance, they will play France in the semifinals. So we will see. But there is this take from everyone, and they write it in articles, and they talk about it in debates on radio and television, that Gareth Southgate has to win and England have to win. What does that mean?
Force anyone. But England always do this. They always, every tournament, don't you see this? In all of the tournaments that you've covered, the divine right to win is cemented in the commentary beforehand. And when they don't win, it makes it so much worse for them, but they never learn.
I like much more the last couple of tournaments where, yes, there was a bit of that, but there was the sense of, oh, and these guys great, the players, and Southgate great, and wouldn't it be great if we actually win? It was more like that. And then, of course, when it gets closer to winning, it's like it's coming home, which is, a song I hate for many reasons. But then now, it's from the beginning. He has to win. And I think that's too much pressure to them.
Uh-huh. In the groups, I know that you like the look of Group B, Spain, Croatia, Italy, Albania. But always with these things, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we generally have an outsider who, has a really strong performance. But I suppose on paper, Group B is probably the most attractive there, isn't it?
Yeah, because you'll get either the winners of the last European Championships or the semi-finalists of the last European Championships or a semi-finalist of the World Cup in Croatia being knocked out. Or maybe not, because obviously there's only going to be 8 teams knocked out in the next round, because some of the third ones will actually qualify. So we'll have to see. But I've just been in Croatia for 5 days, which I recommend anyone. It's a wonderful part of the world. And what they have is this sense that even though they're 4 million and you look at the team, it's like a little bit old, most of them, or the key ones. Modric is 39, for instance. They're like, yeah, we can beat anyone. It's like, where'd you get that impression from? And they don't get it from anywhere scientific. They just feel that way. They're so competitive. So let's see.
So why is it okay for Croatia to think and act like that, but not England?
What a good point. Let me think about that one. So Croatia is 4 million, 3.8 million people. And is their way of actually overcoming the limitations of the players they could have or the quality they could have? They've got a very, very strong mentality, the volcanic mentality. Serbia as well. Be careful, England. Serbia think that way. They've got that, and it's to be admired. in the case of England, help me here. It's just that they're perhaps not always based on reality. I don't know.
And can we just talk a little bit more about France? Because, again, going back to what you said, that they may not make it into the final, despite the fact that they have Mbappe there and he wants this trifecta, doesn't he? He has the World Cup, he has the Nations League. He just wants the Euros. Does he deserve the Euros?
Well, we'll see. But certainly what he needs to show, which he hasn't this season, is that he's the best player in the world. And that will definitely help them. Deschamps has got the perfect combination of quality, humbleness in their players, and authority to make them follow a structure, which, again, is not very sexy, but certainly is a winning formula. And it won't be spectacular, but it's like seven games. So if you get it right, if you don't concede, you have Mbappe, you've got Dembele, you've got Griezmann, you've got Barcala, you've got Colomoni, so many players of quality that can make a difference. So it's in their hands, certainly in their hands. But yeah, the way it's going, semi-final against England, that could be interesting.
And Cristiano Ronaldo is back, and, you know, we write him off all of the time, and then he scores a goal like he did against Ireland, the first one, and you just look at the, you know, the fast-moving feet, the way he can bring the team along with him, and you think, yeah, he's got every right to be there, despite the fact that he might be playing against the sons of some of the people who he played against earlier in his career.
It's wonderful to see him still wanting to be there, but he's a veteran. And that affects the way the team plays, for sure. But he will play, and he will start. Roberto Martinez, the manager of Portugal, has been very clever how he's dealt with it. The first thing he did when he was named is to travel to Saudi Arabia and talk to him and tell him he was going to be important. And he has been in the qualifiers, not so much in the friendlies. He's been rested. But yes, it will be so much quality around him. And I think he learned a lesson, Cristiano, in Qatar, that it shouldn't be all about him, that there is people around that can take some of the responsibility, authority even, and that his role is little in terms of where he has to do, or, you know, he's got to score the goals, that's all. But sometimes in the past, didn't accept that. But he's got Bernardo Silva next to him, and Bruno, and he's got Otavio, and he's got Palinha, and he's got, you know, so many quality players that that will give him the ball. And then if he finishes, yes, you have to count Portugal as one of the candidates.
Well, Guillaume, I hope you have a wonderful tournament, and we'll be catching up with you a couple of times over the course of it all. Thank you very much for joining us from Berlin this morning. That's Guillaume Balague there. And every match is live on RTE2, the RTE News Channel, and on the RTE Player, so you can catch them all here. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.